folks. Welcome to Sands 23. And this is being recorded on Saturday, August 30th, 2025. And can you believe it? We are actually going to be able to do two episodes. Just a programming note for you. There are two items I want to announce. First, the newsletter actually covers this. There will be no newsletter until September 5th. And we will have no TSB this week because I will be out of the office on a work commitment. So this will more than likely be the last program you will get for the week. I am also happy to report that those of you who are subscribed to the dual feed have been caught up on recent shows, and we will try and get shows up on a more regular basis within 24 hours after airplay. So, we are looking forward to trying to do that. That is for my independent artist shows, for those who don't know. And you can search my name, Jared Reimer, for all of my podcasts. As now we're on a network feed, and I can have everything under one account. It was similar to how things worked with Spotify before we left them, because they started pulling my shows with really no explanation, including shows like this one. I'm not saying this particular show, but some of my tech programs and TSBs were removed. Some of them played Independence, and they still got pulled. And some of my Independence got pulled, even though I showed them that everything that was played was independent. So, we are no longer there. We're with a different company, and because of that, that company charges. That's all well and good. And if you like what you hear, please feel free to support the podcast by donating. You can go to jaredreimer.net. That's JaredReimer.net, and under links around the main domain, select the donations page, or email tech, that's TECH, at menvi.org. Give me some contact information, and I'll be willing to work with you to make everything work. If you want a subscription, and you want to do it via direct credit card, debit card, we can do that too by billing you. You click on the link, you check the box to add it to a profile, and then every month you're invoiced, and then it's auto-paid. You can contact me to cancel that subscription at any time. Make sure you do it before your next billing date. This is the Sands News Bites. This is annotated news update from the leader in information, security, training, certification, and research for August 29th, 2025, volume 27, number 63. And as I mentioned already, there is no episode after this one until the September 5th newsletter, but I write in the beginning paragraph, "Hello, folks. Welcome to Sands, episode 23. See if you can find the common theme for this episode, which covers the newsletter for August 29th, 2025. Also, no newsletter till September 5th, 2025. That's the top paragraph of the newsletter before the table of contents. All right? There is going to be a common theme featuring a company. Now, I'm not trying to give the answer away because the newsletter itself has the answer in it, but I want you to see if you can guess the common theme. Just because one item in the table of contents in the headlines mentions what it might be, for example, doesn't mean it is. There are several stories that are absolutely related, including the one that actually has the answer in it. I'm just going to read it as is. You can email or iMessage tech, that's T-E-C-H, at menvi.org. Text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975. Or you may call the comment line at 888-405-7524 and let me know what that common theme is. I'll give you a hint. It deals with recent breaches. Okay? So, let's go ahead and get started by reading our table of contents so you know what we're covering. For top of the news, we have critical Citrix Netscaler flaw added to Kev with 2-day turnaround. This means it's bad. Really bad. CISA releases 9 ICS advisories, and Google announces developer verification for sideloaded apps. I think that's about time. Here is the rest of the week's news, and this is where the common theme is. Farmers insurance breach impacts 1.11 million customers. IT supplier to Swedish municipalities recovers from possible ransomware. TransUnion Credit Bureau discloses data breach affecting nearly 4.5 million people. Google Threat Intelligence Group warns of Salesforce attacks stemming from stolen OAuth tokens. Now, the bigger question would be, is Salesforce a possible answer? I'm not going to say one way or the other. You're going to have to find out by listening to the podcast and then giving me your answer. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But that's one of the headlines. But that's what I'm going to ask you now. Do you think that's it? Or could it be something else? Germany charges man in Rosenfeld, Dutchland cyber attack. CISA aids Nevada after cyber attack. Salt Typhoon Joint Advisory. And that's going to be the end of the table of contents. If you would like a Braille copy of the file, you may email me and let me know. And if you would like to have it in Unified English Braille, I can make that happen too. And if you would also like a 30-cell copy, also, let me know. I can make that happen for you. Let's go ahead and start with the top of the news. On page 1 of our file, and just to let you all know that this file's length is the same as last time, and we do have some commentary written down by the editorial team because it so matches. And we'll see if you agree. Critical Citrix Netscaler flaw added to Kev with 2-day turnaround. In an August 26 security bulletin, Citrix provided updates and information about a trio of vulnerabilities affecting Netscaler ADC and Netscaler Gateway. CVE-2025-7775, a critical memory overflow vulnerability that can be exploited to achieve remote code execution or denial of service is being actively exploited and has already been added to CISA's known exploited vulnerabilities CAV catalog with a mitigation due date of August 28th. Citrix is urging users to install updated versions of Netscaler ADC and Netscaler Gateway as soon as possible to address CVE-2025-7775, as well as CVE-2025-7776, a memory overflow issue that could lead to unpredictable or erroneous behavior or denial of service, and CVE-2025-8424, an improper access control on the Netscaler management interface. Now, I will say before I read any of what the editors have to say, I will say that all of these are bad. You don't want memory issues, and you don't want anything taking over your machine. So, because it's the 30th, they put out the newsletter on the 29th. It's already past the due date. But don't let that stop you. If you run these items, make sure that you get them done as soon as possible. In fact, I would do it as early as Tuesday. I know that we're going to be releasing the podcast just before Labor Day, by the way. Happy Labor Day. It's the unofficial end of summer. But as soon as you can, patch these things. Two of the editors mentioned very interesting things that I'll let you go read. And I say, have fun. I was actually thinking of putting them in, but you can actually go read this if you are affected by this. But we do actually have some comments from the editors coming up that actually are great, valid points. Okay. CISA releases 9 ICS advisories. The U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, has released 9 Industrial Control Systems, ICS, security advisories. 4 for vulnerabilities in Mitsubishi Electric Products, MelSec, IQF series, CPU module, FA engineering software products, and Ionix Digital Solutions and Electric Products. 2 for vulnerabilities in Delta Electronics products. Soft G2 and MGR, and one each for Schneider Electric Satel DR and Satel DP remote terminal unit. GE Vernova Simplicity and Hitachi Energy Railion 670-650 and SAM 600 IO series. These are big things. I'm not too familiar with these types of things. I would say if you run any of this stuff, better get your updates on. Now let's get into Google here. Google announces developer verification for side-loaded apps. In an effort to reduce the presence of malware in Android devices, Google will introduce a developer verification program for apps to be installed on certified Android devices. Google introduced developer verification on Google Play in 2023. The new policy is for side-loaded apps. SC World observes that currently third-party apps from external sources can be side-loaded onto certified Android devices without any verification, although Google Play Protect, which is activated on certified devices by default, may still scan these apps for malware. Google is building a new Android developer console just for developers who only distribute outside of Google Play so they can easily complete their verification, as well as an Android developer console designed specifically for students and hobbyists. Starting in October 2025, Google will open early access to developer verification by invitation. The system will be open to all developers starting in March 2026. In September 2026, the new verification requirement will take effect in Brazil, Indonesia, Singapore, and Thailand, where users have been impacted by these forms of fraudulent app scams, often from repeat perpetrators. In 2027, the verification requirement will start to be rolled out globally. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this right now. This is long overdue. I understand that Google's intention was to make Android an open platform. I'm not trashing Apple or Android, because both places can have bad apps. We've seen a few of them in iOS, but we've seen more of them in the Android ecosystem. We actually thought about, although I'm probably not going to do this because we're not really keeping track anymore, the number of Android apps that have been pulled to date are over 20,000. I don't have an exact number because we stopped counting a long time ago. We started adding them, and then we just said to hell with it because Android was so far in the lead, there was no competition. And so far, the openness of iOS, at least for the UK, is not really a factor yet. And I want to say yet, because I bet at some point we will see more malicious apps in the App Store. Now, my goal here is not to scare anybody, but if Android has had this much of a problem, and I've been touching on this before the security box, I've been touching this on my own technology podcast when I was doing this on a regular basis before the podcast stopped, because I was doing more security than anything else, although maybe I should have just kept going, because now I wish I hadn't stopped podcasting, but I wanted that podcast to be something else. But I can't go backwards now, and since I am doing more security now, I've got this program and TSB, and if we need to get something out while podcasting is on hold, I've got the tech podcast to do that with, and so that's what we're going to do. But what my point is that way back when, Google should have done this, and apparently there's going to be a small charge for developers, not as large of a charge as it is for iOS. I think from what I remember, and I should have probably put this into the notation section of the reading, but I believe from what I was reading from the editors, it's something like $25. And that's to make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to do. I know that it's $99 for Apple, and we hardly have any issues. Not because Apple's closed, but because developers know better. There may be a few that are able to disguise apps, and Apple approves it, and it finds out, they find out later that it's bad. But Android has had more of a history of this. They have had more of a history of this, and I assume that by doing this, hopefully, it will curb the biggest problem we have had on the Android ecosystem. I'm not picking one over the other. I'm just stating fact. I guess we will see what happens as things move along. For those who are reading, we now move over to page 5 of our file with the rest of the news. And now it's time for you to really pay attention, because now we're going to find out what our answer is. And I'm not saying that it is Salesforce, okay? But one of the article's titles mentions them in our table of contents. Of course, we'll get to that here in a little bit. But you need to tell me if that's what the answer is or if it's something else. And if you would rather wait until we do this for TSB on September the 10th, you can do that, because that'll be our trivia question. This will be Sans episode 23. Farmers insurance breach impacts 1.11 million customers is our first item of the rest of the news. Farmers Insurance Exchange, Farmers Group Incorporated, and their subsidiaries and affiliates have published a notice on their website and filed 2 reports with the Office of the Maine Attorney General to disclose a data breach that took place on May 29th, 2025. On May 30th, a third-party vendor's monitoring tools detected unauthorized access to databases containing consumer information. The vendor implemented containment measures and notified farmers, who notified law enforcement and began an investigation alongside a third-party data review expert. By July 24th, the investigation found that data, including name, address, date of birth, driver's license number, and or last 4 digits of Social Security number, belonging to 1.11 million customers, were contained in the breached database. Farmers began notifying affected individuals directly on August 22nd and will provide 24 months of complimentary toll-free weekday information hotline and lays out recommendations for monitoring accounts and credit, freezing credit, placing fraud alerts, and obtaining information on U.S. state-specific rights and resources. And I wish I could have fixed that U.S. there, but I know that the whole thing would have needed to be in grade 1, so I just left it, but I did make sure that we fixed all of the ones that I can. With that being said, this is number 1 of the potential theme. Editor Pescator writes, looks like a good one to use to justify a deep dive into your supply chain's use of Salesforce to see if measures have been taken to reduce risk of OAuth token compromise attacks. The farmer's notification starts with the dreaded out of an abundance of caution phrase that immediately tells you they weren't cautious enough until it was too late. There is a bit of a joke with dukes. I'll let you read it on your own. But this is potentially item number one dealing with Salesforce. Now, could this continue? I guess we're going to have to figure it out. My first reading of this, when I read this on the 29th, was, you have to be kidding me, oh my god, and, So, I said, there's a common theme here. This is item number one, Salesforce is mentioned here. I know Salesforce is mentioned in another one just by its article title. But what else? The next item is IT supplier to Swedish municipalities recovers from possible ransomware. IT vendor Belgedata, which supplies HR systems and related administration services for the majority of Sweden's municipal governments, took its entire IT environment offline after a cyber attack triggered a technical warning on August 23rd, 2025, impacting districts across the country. And yes, I just realized I missed an IT there. I got most of them. Meljodata is collaborating with law enforcement, Sweden's Computer Security Incident Response Team, and third-party cybersecurity experts to investigate. While all information backed up prior to August 22nd at 4:13 p.m. GMT plus 2 is intact, Seventy-six customers have been informed that they may have lost data from within the following 23 hours. I'd say, before I continue reading, that's pretty good. Only losing one day's worth of data is not necessarily the best, but it's pretty damn good. The company's Adato, Stila, Novi, Opus, and Atlas cloud-based services were made inaccessible after the attack, and customers using those services may have had data accessed or stolen by the threat actor, though Meljodata states that there is not digital forensic evidence to support this claim. I guess we'll see if we find out if that's actually true or not. The company has increased manual monitoring on top of the automatic systems that detected the intrusion, and promises a forthcoming technical incident report. While dissemination of information was initially limited due to an unavailable website, Miljodata notes that customer service and the support channel were functional throughout the incident, and service disruption announcements, direct communication with system managers, and data protection officers, and notices of the data breach have been ongoing since Monday, August 25th. Swedish media have relayed statements from police alleging that the threat actor is attempting to extort Miljodata for the unusually small sum of 1.5 BTC, approximately US $168,000, to prevent data being leaked. I'd say you're going to have to make sure you keep on top of this, and we wish you good luck. They're doing the best they can. They've had processes to alert them of the issue. They dealt with it the best they can. The fact that there's only a day's worth of data missing is pretty phenomenal. Even with all the backups and things we have these days, that's not bad. And I guess Miljodata will have to continue to do the process of letting us know how everything is going. Now, folks, TransUnion Credit Bureau. Here we go again. Although this wasn't necessarily their fault, not necessarily, but a TransUnion Credit Bureau discloses data breach affecting nearly 4.5 million people. I would hope it wasn't their fault, but of course we know they're a data broker, so they have information on everybody regardless of whether you do business with them or not. So, but could we say they're negligent? I don't know. I'm not ready to go that far, even though I read this and I read the comments. I don't know if I'd say that they were negligent. At least I'm not ready to go that far. I'll let you decide. Credit Bureau TransUnion has disclosed a data security breach that compromised personal information of 4.46 million individuals. According to notifications being sent to affected people, the breach occurred on July 28, 2025, and was detected on July 30th. So I'll stop and say today is exactly a month, and we're being notified of the issue. I say that's excellent. That gives them time to do their analysis. Okay, we had a problem. How many people? Okay, it's, call it 4.5 million. Let's start getting people notified and putting it up there that we had a problem. That's great. That's exactly how it should be. Although it should be a lot faster, but I think a month seems fair. And while it was a little under a month, that's all well and good. And I know that newsletters are not published every day, so for us to get it around the month time is pretty good. And I believe that I posted one of the articles about this on our blog. TransUnion writes that they experienced a cyber incident involving a third-party application serving their U.S. consumer support operations. What support? They don't supply anything to us. It appears that the breach is related to a recent string of social engineering attacks targeting Salesforce instances and resulting in data theft. Now, before I start reading what the editors have to say, this is probably one reason why I don't answer my phone. And if I were to answer my phone, and let's say somebody said, "We have a problem with your computer," I'm going to say, How can you prove it? The company doesn't have my phone number. And the fact that you're calling me out of the blue and telling me that there's a problem with my computer tells me that you may or may not know anything. Oh, and by the way, I've got antivirus software on the machine, and it says I don't have anything. And I could say, if you're thinking of getting into my machine, the only way you can get into my machine is through access technology, because I can't use remote desktop or any other tool, as it's not accessible. And I would actually be telling the truth, because Microsoft, or any other company for that matter, they won't call you. They don't, even though Microsoft has my phone number, they're not going to call me. They may see I have a problem, and if they can remedy the problem from their end, they're going to do that without having to touch my machine. Maybe they'll push me a patch that'll put something in place or something, because they can do that through their update tool without physically getting access to my machine. They're not going to call me and tell me there's a problem. Pescator writes, "Another Salesforce supply chain related incident, and a very large one, to use to drive action to address risks." Dukes writes, "All three of the major U.S. and I just realized that I didn't correct this one, credit bureaus have now had security incidents, some twice. The good news is that TransUnion takes protection of personal information seriously, which is why they engage in robust, proactive security measures. I call bull, but we'll see. When that doesn't happen, you get complimentary credit monitoring for 24 months via one of their subsidiaries." All great comments. And by the way, to add insult to injury, Murray also wrote in, and he writes, "The credit bureaus are data brokers. Not only do they buy and sell information about us, but they draw inferences about us from the data and sell those. To add insult to injury, when credit data are compromised, they sell services to monitor fraudulent use. What could possibly go wrong?" Also, another great comment. I mean, Equifax, and I was talking about this on the 29th in Team Talks chat room during one of the Mix's internet radio programs, and Krebs on Security calls Equifax Equal Fish because they never really did anything right. TransUnion has a robust security program? Okay, if you say so. Anybody who collects my data and sells it isn't taking my security very seriously. I never asked you to sell my data, and I don't do business with you, and I didn't give you permission to run off with my data. I didn't. That is absolutely not true. So, don't think for one minute that I am okay with you or any other company I've never actually called and given my information to you, that I've given you permission to do anything with it. And even if I've given you that information, that doesn't give you the right to sell it without my permission. Google Threat Intelligence Group warns of Salesforce attacks stemming from stolen OAuth tokens. On August 26th, researchers from the Google Threat Intelligence Group, GTIG, published an advisory warning that threat actors have been using OAuth tokens stolen from SalesLoft Drift to steal data from Salesforce customer instances. What could possibly go wrong here, too? And who's SalesLoft? I've heard of Salesforce. They've been around forever. And maybe they're just having bad luck, just like AT&T did and T-Mobile has in recent years. It's just Salesforce's time right now. Let's see, where are we here? Okay. 2 days later, GTIG updated their advisory to include new information indicating that the scope of this compromise is not exclusive to the Salesforce integration of SalesLoft Drift and impacts other integrations. Nice! We now advise all SalesLoft Drift customers to treat any and all authentication tokens stored in or connected to the Draft platform as potentially compromised. Nice! SalesLoft has published an advisory acknowledging that they are currently responding to a security incident related to our Drift product. As a result of the incident, Salesforce has elected to temporarily disable all SalesLoft integrations with Salesforce. And that means that you can't access it through there. I've never heard of SalesLoft, so they're taking the responsibility of saying, okay, we have a problem here. We're temporarily disabling this so no more data gets exfiltrated out. The associated breaches are believed to have begun around August 8th, 2025 and persisted through or beyond August 18th, so 10 days after the fact. And the fact that they are already starting to tell us about the problem, they've done it within the month's time, I give them props. Oh boy. Germany charges man in Rosneft Dutchland cyber attack. Authorities in Germany have filed charges against a man suspected of carrying out a cyber attack on Rosneft Dutchland Germany BH in March 2022. Rosneft Dutchland Germany BH, a petroleum refinery, is a subsidiary of a Russian company and is considered to be critical infrastructure. The individual faces two charges of spying on data, one of which allegedly involves computer sabotage. The suspect allegedly disrupted Rosneft Dutchland Germany BH's operations for days, costing the company millions of euros in losses and follow-up costs. Authorities allege that he stole 20 terabytes of data and deleted critical information from the company's systems. I don't remember if it says how much time he was supposed to get, but I hope he gets 10 years plus for that. Because that is not necessarily good. Oh boy. Now here's some interesting news in regards to Nevada as they continue to deal with their cyber attack. CISA aids Nevada after cyber attack. The U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, has published a press release announcing its collaboration with Nevada officials in the restoration process after a cyber attack that disrupted the state's phone lines, including police dispatch lines, websites, and online platforms on Sunday, August 24th, 2025, forcing state offices to close the following day at no cost and for as long as necessary. CISA is prioritizing assisting the state in restoring networks for life saving and critical services and rebuilding its systems, as well as investigating the attack's scope and conduct, threat hunting and mitigation, aided by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI. CISA is also advising the state on Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, emergency response grants. Government employees returned to offices on August 26th and 27th, but many departments' phones and websites remain offline. And didn't I say when I read the last newsletter, when I mentioned that one of the editors said that they were going back to work and they were going to do what, you know, everything that they needed to do, I said, we're just going to have to wait and see. I highly doubt that's going to happen. And while we learn here they did, there was probably not a whole lot they could do. Nevada Governor Joe Lombardo has posted a document announcing service status by department. Notably, Nevada Health Authority has limited essential operations at district offices for care coordination efforts. And Medicaid, is this Medicaid or Medicare? This is Medicaid. Medicaid services are fully functional. While applications can be accepted, complete enrollments for public assistance programs with the Department of Human Services must wait until systems are operational, and both the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Wildlife are working around the system outages by conducting certain operations manually using pen and paper or hotspots. There is not evidence that personally identifiable information, PII, was compromised, and essential emergency services, including 911 calls, remain available statewide. I'd say that's excellent. They're trying the best they can. I'm surprised that CISA isn't charging for this work, to be honest, because doing work for free can only go so far. And let's face it, the government can pay. I mean, this is an agency that should be working for money. They should not be doing this for free. They've only got a certain budget that is given to them by the government, so why not charge for it? Finally, Salt Typhoon Joint Advisory, as we move to page 13 of our file. Cybersecurity agencies from 13 countries have published a joint advisory providing technical details about the People's Republic of China, PRC, State-Sponsored Advanced Persistent Threat, APT, actor known by several names, including Salt Typhoon. And we've talked about Salt Typhoon through the years, through our various podcasts, including Throwback Saturday Night Security Hour, The Security Box, and possibly other tech podcasts. The advisory notes that the threat actors are targeting networks globally, including but not limited to telecommunications, government, transportation, lodging, and military infrastructure networks. While these actors focus on large backbone routers of major telecommunications providers, as well as provider edge, PE, and customer edge, CE, routers, they also leverage compromised devices and trusted connections to pivot into other networks. These actors often modify routers to maintain persistent, long-term access to networks. The document provides technical details about the group's initial access, persistence, lateral movement, and data collection, and exfiltration. It also includes a case study, threat hunting guidance, indicators of compromise, suggested mitigations, and other resources. The advisory is published jointly by agencies from the U.S., and I didn't fix that either. We tried. Australia, Canada, New Zealand, the U.K., Czechia, Finland, Germany, Italy, Japan, the Netherlands, Poland, and Spain. LG has a riddle. Riddle. What do you call it when China hacks friendly nations' critical infrastructure with no apparent repercussions? Friday. Emoticon removed. I'd say if there's a link there and you're interested, go look at it. We are definitely happy that we have a bunch of stuff to put out in regards to this, because Salt Typhoon, among other Chinese-based actors, have been causing problems for quite a while. So, yeah. We'll have to see how this goes. I'm on page 15 of the file if you would like to read about the editorial board of Sans News Bites. And we have been told that the list is better, so we're going to go back to the list when the News Bites resumes on September 5th. The editorial team of Sans includes Brian Honan, Kurt Dukes, Chris Elgi, David Holzer, Ed Scoutis, Gal Spitzner, Jake Williams, Dr. Johannes Ulrich, John Pescator, Josh Wright, Kathy Bradford, Lance Spitzner, Lee Neely, Mark Weatherford, Moses Frost, Suzanne Vautrinot, and William Hugh Murray. Sands Institute is located at 11,200 Rockville Pike, Suite 200, North Bethesda, Maryland, 20852. I am Jared Reimer, and I will be going and correcting these Braille issues that I have found and making sure that those who get the podcast via Dropbox get it. If you would like a Braille copy of the notes because you need them, I can supply that to you. And if you would like a UEB copy, let me know. And if you need a 30 cell, let me know. Please let me know what you think of the podcast and whether you think Salesforce was the main theme of today's program, especially in the several items dealing with breaches. I'm not saying yes or no, but I will be giving out the answer well after we give out the trivia question on the 10th, because TSB uses the same feed, and maybe, just maybe, we will see who gets this right. I am Jared Reimer, and I thank you for listening to this program. Again, no TSB this week, And there will be no Sans for Tuesday. We'll be back with another podcast when one becomes available. Feel free to subscribe to the other podcasts, though, because they're covering different things like music and sports. And stay tuned, because I am thinking of starting a Metro-specific podcast talking about what is going on at Los Angeles Metro as my involvement to it will reach its 11th year. So, we'll go ahead and go for now, and we will catch everybody later. Have yourselves a great day, everybody. Email iMessage, tech, T-E-C-H, at M-E-N-V-I, text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975, or call the comment line at 888-405-7524. Goodbye.